from the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
We know that in all things, God works for good with those who love Him, those whom He has called according to His purpose. Those whom God had already chosen, He also set apart to what? To become like His Son. You're going to be in the midst of storms. You react poorly, you'll become more like the storm. Or you can become like our secure Savior. His goal through all the storms is not to remove them, it's to make us more like Him.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu, pastored by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Yesterday, we began a message entitled, Our Secure Savior, where we had the disciples in a storm at sea, bailing water as fast as they could. Meanwhile, Jesus was on a pillow in the back of the boat, checking out the back of his eyelids. Let's pick it up where we left off yesterday. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Our Secure Savior.
You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Now watch this. Each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be. Because it's so easy to try and please unpleasable people, but you will always fail. Stories told of this pake husband that just was upset at his wife. And you got to save money. You got to save money. And everything she did, she'd buy some groceries and try to save. And he'd say, did you get the coupons out of the newspaper? Oh, no, you didn't save enough money. She'd buy something. Did you buy this? Too much money. You should have saved money. Well, it got so bad. She's trying her best to please this guy, being so anxious about life, that even though she had a car, she stopped driving the car because he wanted her to save money on gas. So she started riding the bus. He said, the bus, how much? $1. Too much money. And so one day she just tried her best. She was at home and she was just completely disheveled and tired. And the pake husband comes home and says, what's the matter? How come you're so all tired? She said, you know, just to save money, I ran after the bus all the way home. I saved $1. And the pake husband said, oh, you dumb woman. You should have ran after a taxi. You could have saved $6. There's just some unpleasable people. And you have to look to yourself lest you too get sucked in. So watch your spirit. Keep your spirit strong. He said, well, what are some of the practical things of faith? That's right, because you see, faith is really practical. Sometimes we think, oh, it's just this, as I said, this magical word or this way of thinking positively that everything that's problematic will disappear. Faith is very, very practical. And when you hit storms, which we will, and though I will pray and ask God to remove them, if He chooses not to, I will go through them. And you keep your spirit strong, not allowing an outside storm to become an inside and making sure that you're better because of it. And you'll begin to understand the enduring, persevering quality of faith. It's very practical. Let me give you these three steps of how practical faith is. The first is this. When you hit storms, what do? Well, you increase your faith and it decreases anxiety by, here's the first, by praying. Would you write that down? By praying. In fact, let's read what the scripture says as it defines this. Let's read Philippians 4. Go. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with heaps of thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Watch this. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, here it is, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know how you keep your spirit buoyant? Or guard your heart and your mind in the midst of storms so that outside storms don't become inside storms. Here it is, praying. But a lot of us don't pray. You know what we do? We get on our knees and we gripe to God. And then we say, in Jesus' name, amen. We complain to God. We fret about situations to God. But here's what I'm finding. So it may be a new definition for you of prayer, but here it is. Just kind of listen and see. I am finding that for me, prayer is something that allows me to think deeply in the presence of God. Think deeply in the presence of God, where He counsels me. He shows up inconsistencies in my thinking, because how are you going to resolve problems? By the way you perceive them. and it gives you instructions as to what you're going to do to either make it worse or ignore it or marginalize yourself from it or run from it or resolve it. It's how you're thinking about that problem. And so what I do with part of prayer is it allows me to think deeply about a problem or a situation or a storm in the presence of God. You know what I'd like to do, God? No, I can't do that, can I? What about this? And I just think, yeah, I need to do that, huh, Lord? And my attitude's been pretty stink, hasn't it? Yeah. Lord, I need to change that because that's not how you're thinking. And I don't want to be someplace where you're not. Because it makes me too susceptible to deceptions and lies. No, Lord, I need to change that. And what I'm doing is I'm just thinking deeply in the presence of God. He, by His Spirit, is what? Counseling me. He's counseling. The Holy Spirit is called the Counselor. One of His names is Wonderful God, the Mighty, Mighty God, the Counselor, Prince of Peace. He is a what? He is a Counselor. And so in the presence of God, I think deeply about a situation. Often my journal is filled with instructions from the Lord after having thought deeply about things in the presence of God, about a situation, your marriage, an estrangement, or a situation in your job. Think deeply in the presence of God, and then you'll begin to discern what's wise or unwise, what's right from what's wrong, what's timely from what's untimely. Then you'll be able to evaluate your perception, your perspective, and God will counsel you. And then you write in your journal some instructions that God will give to you. Billy Graham gives a definition of prayer that I've always enjoyed. He says it this way: I was watching a great and grand ship dock at a pier. They threw out these huge ropes to which it was attached to these posts on the pier. The engines within the ship began to whir, and as it whirred, it pulled the ropes taut and tight. Then he said, I noticed something interesting. As the engines began to run and the ropes began to tighten, I noticed that it didn't pull the dock out to the ship. It pulled the ship snugly to the dock. And then he used that as a parallel to prayer. He said, when I pray, it doesn't pull God down to me and pull Him into my storm. It pulls me snug to Him and His presence. And when I'm near Him, I'm fine. You see, in prayer, the peace of God comes. And no, it's not a peace from your storms. It's a peace in your storms. It's not a peace from problems. It's a peace in problems, so that you know what to do now. And you begin to become a person not dodging problems, but resolving them. Not running from them, but making them whole. And then you become what they call an ambassador for Christ, because that's exactly what He wants to do. He wants to resolve problems. He just wants to do it through you. But if I'm running from them to Nineveh, from Nineveh all the time to Tarshish, then He can't do anything. And so the first is praying. And praying, what it does is it allows God's peace in the midst of prayer. Say, okay, I got it. I got it, Lord. Okay, now I know what to do. Is the problem still there? Yeah, but I'm okay. You understand? I'm okay. I know what to do. I'll be fine. Because the second thing that we get to do is not only praying, but faith decreases anxiety by, would you write down the next one? Accepting. Accepting. Not only praying, but accepting. Because once the peace of God guards my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus, and I've got some instructions down, I'm okay. Now the storm's it's not that gnarly. Oh yeah, it's a bad thing. It's going on, but I'll be okay. I'll be fine because I know that I'm near Him. I'm going to think like He thinks. I'm going to see things like He sees. I'll be fine. I'll be fine. Now, before that, what is gnarly to you is not to Him. And so you choose which way you're going to go. Become like the storm or become like our secure Savior. And in prayer, He gives you His peace that will guard your heart and your mind. Does that mean that it all goes away, the problems go away? No, but I'll be fine because I know exactly what to do now. There's a peace that comes. And now I can accept what happens. Because sometimes we just want our faith to remove stuff. Here's an old prayer I got. It's a great prayer. Listen to this. It goes like this. I prayed for food and God gave me a job. Then I prayed for a car, and God gave me a bus schedule. I prayed for more money. God sent people to help me. I prayed for strength, and God taught me the power of weakness. I prayed for a miracle, and God taught me patience. And then I began to pray for others. And then God gave me his blessings. So now I had something to share with those for whom I had prayed. See, often worry and anxiety is a result of us thinking too much of our own selves and our own lot. And the Lord says, in prayer, think deeply, and then I'll guard your heart and your mind with peace. And then you'll accept. You'll accept where you are right now. But you have instruction. You see, life is going to throw curveballs at you. Now, life won't come always neatly wrapped and packaged. No, it's going to have some curveballs, and you have to be ready. But if you refuse to accept what's going on in your life, it's going to take you a long time to heal. Let me tell you. You see, God promises to heal. You decide how long it's going to take. It can take 10 years. You want to take 20 years? God promises to heal. The question is how long you want it to take. And if I'm able to accept my lot in life and how things have fallen for this season of my life, receiving his peace, not from, but in, I'll know how to do it. I'll be fine. I'll work through it and I'll come out better, not bitter. I'll come out better, not worse. David at this time was running from Saul, having to hide in caves. But he writes this in Psalm 16. Let's read it. Go. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. You think about that. You know what he's saying? When things collapse, boom, bang, 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 and all of these lines, as it were, looks like a disheveled mess and chaos, some convoluted situation that I'm in. David stopped and he looked at Saul and what was promised to him isn't happening and this and that and this. And his summary? The lines have fallen to me in what? Pleasant places. I thought, what? This is what he's saying. I've thought deeply about things. Nothing gets by God without him giving permission. So God is in control. My heart and my mind is guarded by God's peace. Oh, not that circumstances are neat. No, it's by his peace and his presence. So therefore, I can say, here it is, paraphrased, I am satisfied with the way the Lord is treating me during this season of my life, and I will accept his hand and his ways. You understand what faith is? It's pretty powerful. Otherwise, we'll have a wrong definition of faith and you'll always be discouraged. David says, I'm fine. I'm fine because I know that God has his hand on my life. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. When you begin to understand your place in the storm and accept, understanding comes and direction takes place. Story was told me where an elderly couple who were devoted to one another. In their later years, wonderful Christians, the man's wife passes away. And this man became so depressed, angry at God, said to his pastor, it should have been me that died, not her. I love her so much, and now she's gone. How come God didn't take me? And he refused to accept what was going on in life until the pastor explained to him and said, listen, the greatest and final act of love that you could show to your wife is to let her go. He said, what do you mean? It should have been me that died. No. What would you rather have it be? Because if you think about yourself, you'll go a little skewed. You'll be on tilt. But think of it this way. If you would have been the one that died, who would have to bear the grief alone? Is that what you want? Who would have to go through all of the scheduling of the funeral and everything alone? That's what you wanted? See, the greatest act of love that you can give to your beloved right now is to let her go home with the Lord. She's fine right now. And you be the one as the husband or as a mate or as the loved one to say, I will bear the grief, not her. I'd rather it be me. I'll take care of all these things. The last and greatest act of love is to let her be with Jesus and you take this, you bear the grief. What an act of love it would be. If it were the other way, would that be better? No, he said, I should take the grief. Good. Then there's no greater act of love, is there? And then he began to understand that it was God's mercy. And then his life began to take off again because he came to a point of accepting and understanding that God knows what he's doing. And so the first is by praying, where you get the peace of God. No, the storm isn't past. It's still there, but you're okay because an outside storm is not becoming an inside storm. And the peace of God begins to guard your heart and your mind. And the second is you accept. All right, I got it, but I'm fine. And there's an acceptance that takes place. And then remember, Matthew chapter 5 says this. Remember, you're not going to be insulated from the storms because the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Yeah, it's all right. But then from your journal, the third is not only by praying and then accepting, the third is obeying. Would you write that in? Obeying. Because then you'll have many things to do. Now that you have God's peace, you've accepted, now you become that ambassador for Christ. And if you're not careful, you'll miss it and you'll get upset because you can't accept. And if you can't accept, you can't obey. Let's read what he says here in Romans 8 in the English version. Go. We know. Okay, we'll try it again. Go. We know that in all things God works for good with those who love him, those whom he has called according to his purpose. Those whom God had already chosen, he also set apart to what? To become like his son. You're going to be in the midst of storms. You react poorly, you'll become more like the storm. Or you can become like our secure Savior. His goal through all the storms is not to remove them, it's to make us more like him. Let me finish with this story of obeying, and if we don't accept, we'll miss what God wants to do. Wonderful Christian lady in our church came to me, and she was working in 7-Eleven, and a lady went to the bathroom. This was about 11 at night, got the key, went in the bathroom, never came back. So she thought, what is going on? She must have left and left the key in there. So she went out, and when she went into the restroom, sounds pretty bad, but the lady had expired. She passed away. She called 911, and then later she called me, and she said, how could God do this? How could he do this? I have to be the one to find her. Do you know how it messes me up? And I said, whoa, wait a minute. She said, I can't handle this anymore. Can't handle this. I said, wait a minute. Aren't you a Christian? Yes. So why should God do this to me? He should have protected me from it. I said, stop. I said, who would you rather have had God find that lady? A non-Christian? Someone that has no source of strength, no source to courage, or of all the people that God chose to be able to help resolve the situation, he chose you because he believed in you. And God's going to give you his peace. It just may be that now you have an entree to this lady's life and her, or rather her family. All the family, you can actually go and speak to them about a hope beyond the grave. And it just may be that God has chosen you to be the courier of his message of hope to a people. Who would you rather it have been? The world's watching us. And God will give you his peace as you accept and obey. You watch the miracles begin. And when you understand that, you understand faith. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you so much for helping us just to understand a little bit more. Because sometimes we have a wrong definition, whether it be a prayer, thinking that it's just saying magical words over something, or we have a wrong definition of faith. But Lord, thank you so much for helping us to be a people who, although we're not immune from these times, we'll have your courage in the midst of them. Oh, Lord, there's going to be times that you will remove the storms, and we're glad for that. But there's something even more enduring, and that is a people of faith, just like you were. Because you weren't insulated from all of the stuff, but in the midst of it, you brought redemption and the peace of God. May we be more like our secure Savior. Help us, Lord, to reduce our tendencies to anxiety and worry, which chokes fruitfulness from our lives. Help us to be more like you. Help us to be people of courage. Even though the battles wage, we will be brave and we'll come through better and not worse. Thank you for that. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me as we conclude? I'm going to ask if you would just reach out your hand and take a hold of the person's hand next to you on either side. Because much of what we do includes these to the left and to the right. And much of what God wants to do through us will affect these around us. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for teaching us, and thank you for your presence, because it's in your presence that everything starts to make sense and the dots start to connect. Lord, I ask that you would take what we've learned, weave it into the very fabric of our souls, so that when we leave this place, we'll leave better, we'll leave different, we'll leave closer to you, looking more like you. Oh, may it happen, Lord, where we're being changed or transformed from glory to glory into your image. Start it here with us. Bless these on either side of us, Lord. May they just receive a wonderful, wonderful touch from you this week as we stay close to the one who loves us the most, Jesus our Lord. In your precious name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Would you thank God with a clap offering? Go ahead and see.
You're have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Our Secure Savior by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. We would like to encourage you to visit our website where you'll find other helpful resources from Pastor Wayne. Just go to www.enewhope.org. That's enewhope.org. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.